you see anything else?
Yeah, the kids Wills had a vanity plate. His name was Rex. That's Latin for king. Anyway, I gotta get back to work, so, are you guys, coming to the concert?
It says it's sold out. Can you get me tickets?
Sorry. I'm just the alley poster. Try a billboard. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Mr. Coolio. Mm-hmm. Word to your mother.
It was December 24th on Hollis Avenue at the dark when I seen a man chilling with his dog at the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my God, a ill reindeer. But then I was feeling good, the man had a beard and a bag full of goodies, 12 o'clock at noon. So I turned my head a second and the man was gone. But he must have dropped his wallet back dead on the lawn. I picked the wallet up and then I took a pause. Took out the lights and then it cold said Santa Claus.
Ladies, gentlemen, Ty Wisei, welcome to episode number 11 of Sabrina's Witch Trials. I'm Alex Adujo, and of course this is a show where each week I grab a friend and take them way back into the mid-1990s to rewatch, review, and reminisce all about everybody's favorite Friday Night Spellfest, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Get ready, folks, because 'tis the season for talking about a 90s teen sitcom for hopefully not that long, because on this episode of The Trials, we're covering the very first episode related to Christmas. That's right, if you think I'm messing this up, you're probably right. We're talking about A Girl and Her Cat, and I brought on the cattiest co-host. What?
And not me.
A Girl and not Chris. I brought back the cattiest co-host of all to talk about this episode.
Rawr.
Is she everyone's favorite? Perhaps. Was she the only guest I could get on short notice? Of course not. Why would you say that? Chris Adouge is here, that media maven from ChrisConquers.com. Yeah. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you.
How's your butt bone, Chris?
It's not great, but the bone is fine, I'm sure.
Chris fell really hard on the steps in our house a couple of days ago. Like shockingly hard. Like she was. Yeah. Chris, you tell the story. You tell it so much better than I do. What happened, Chris?
I slipped.
You slipped?
I don't even know how I slipped. It was like there was nothing under my foot. And then I fell.
You fell. You fell. But you were also holding stuff.
I was holding my laptop.
So it's not like you could grab one of the very old arm grabby things.
Arm grabbers.
I'm an architect. No, you were carrying your phone. You had your computer with you. And you also had the most important thing of all.
Andy's
mints, because... much like
ain't Christmas without him.
Much like Christmas episodes, 'tis the season for Andy's mittens. Chris, we're currently recording this in the middle of November, so there's no better time to talk about Christmas episodes.
It's true. It's after October, so
it's true.
It's Christmas.
Yeah, I feel like as much as that's been like the recent trend where as soon as November 1st happens, everything's Christmas.
Yeah.
In other countries, it must be so much worse because they don't have Thanksgiving. Like in Canada. They must just go from Halloween right into Christmas up thinking about nothing else.
They have their own Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but that's in October.
I don't know when that is. But don't they have something the same time as Thanksgiving?
I don't know.
I think Leaf Day? The same day as Thanksgiving they have something.
What do they enjoy? Ice skating? Jubilee? If that's a real thing, let me know on Twitter at... Sabrina Podcast, or let me know on Instagram at the podcast's new Instagram account at Sabrina's Witch Trials. Anyway, Chris,
I'm still looking.
What are you looking for?
They're
vaguely
holidays.
Canadian holidays.
I want to know. I'm intrigued now. Remembrance Day is November 11th.
Chris, let's get into
this
episode.
Which is their Veterans Day.
Yes, it is. Episode 11, as I said, A Girl and Her Cat first aired December 13th, 1996. 16 million viewers, so a big bump from the last episode. 9.9 rating, 18 share, and the 27th most viewed piece of television on broadcast TV that given week. Chris, you know, because you're an old pro here at Sabrina's Witch Trials, mm-hmm. You know what I ask all my guests to do.
I never plan.
No, I mean, only never, Phil. Ever. Phil Adouju, the greatest in terms of planning of all the guests. But you're all right.
Thank you.
You're a mensch. As we're talking about Christmas, I thought I'd bring a Jewish term into it. I ask all my guests to describe the episode of Sabrina Teenage, which we watched, in a set number of words. Seeing as it's the 11th episode, I'm going to need 11 words to describe this episode of Sabrina Teenage Witch.
I think last time you did 11 too.
Sometimes I get lazy. What can I say? Okay. Thinking of numbers is hard. What if I was to ask you for like 37 words? That would just be ludicrous. Ludicrous, of course, being a rapper.
But not in this episode.
No. Talking about Christmas rapping. Get ready for a lot of Christmas puns also, folks, because at the end of my notes, I've just written a bunch of puns related to Christmas songs. So some of them are pretty good. Chris, 11 words? Still counting over there?
Salem learns that family is the most important part of Christmas.
I'm just going to go with you and say that that's 11.
Salem learns that family is the most important part of Christmas.
Nicely done.
Dang.
You counting in front of me made me sure, but that's 11 words. Well done.
Thank you.
And it's a very accurate description of the episode en masse. Let's kick it off, though. We open, as we do so often, in the Spellman kitchen. And Hilda answers the phone and is quickly disgusted to find out that it's Monty. She doesn't want to talk to him, of course, so she hands the phone to Zelda to talk to Cousin Monty. She tells him that, of course, they'll be home for Christmas Eve, and sure, he can join them. This whole time, Hilda is quietly, yes, yet vigorously, like, saying no and protesting and don't do it. She starts out by just waving her hands crazily. She then zaps in a couple of no signs and starts flipping through them in one of the most gif-able moments of this episode. Yeah. And then she goes for the big show ender, just zaps in a red street light and points at it. Eventually, Zelda hangs up after inviting Monty and saying she'd love to see them. And Hilda, unsurprisingly, gives her shit for inviting Monty as he's so annoying. But of course, Zelda, because we need a joke here in the opening, tells her that, well, you should have said something, as the opening closes. Chris, a lot to talk about here.
Yeah.
We have a new character in Cousin Monty, who we'll meet a little bit later on.
And will never, ever appear again.
No, which is a shame. It's so dumb. These early episodes introduce family members that we never see again. Vesta never comes back. Monty could have come back for something. Especially when, in future seasons, we get the whole family secret thing.
Yeah, no.
Bit of a shame. What did you think about this opening, though, Chris?
I thought it was one of the most relatable things that has ever happened on this show.
Yeah. When you zap in a street light. But,
I mean, the whole not wanting to deal with certain family members.
Yes.
And then, you know, trying to be very low-key about telling someone, no, don't invite them. And then, you know, that completely just goes awry. And then you're like, what the fuck? Why did you invite them?
We've all been there.
Yeah.
Especially around this season.
All the time.
You invited Cousin Monty? How could you?
He's family. He shouldn't be alone for the holidays.
But he's so annoying.
Well, you should have said something.
The first thing that stuck out to me here was Hilda's shirt. I don't know if you noticed her shirt in this scene, but it was
like purple and like spotted.
It was like black suede with like green and purple like Tetris pieces, kind of. Like, very, like, squarey and
geographic.
Unattractive.
It wasn't that bad, though.
I described it as 8 bits of ugly. There's going to be a lot of these jokes.
Okay.
Get ready, folks. Also, I noticed that for somebody who really doesn't want Zelda to invite Monty, she just about always, like, gestures no or does something hilarious when Zelda isn't looking at her. Get her attention, tap her on the shoulder, and then point to the big red light. I mean, it works well because Zelda actually doesn't see her, but if you're the character of Hilda, you should put maybe a little bit more effort into it. I think this is where the first time we see that the smoky coffee mugs come back. A couple of times in this episode.
I didn't even notice.
They're back. Although, we don't see the honey. So maybe the honey's already added. Because, you know. 11 episodes in, they get they get their Addy hunted. I'm falling apart here, folks. Anyway, we come back and go figure it's Christmas Eve, and Zelda be cooking up some holiday treats as Hilda enters and makes a god awful mulled cider joke,
it's like Al level mulled cider joke.
It's like Al level, and for a professional comedian like Caroline Ray, she should be ashamed of herself for being compared to me.
Yep.
Ooh, hot malt cider.
You want some?
Let me mull it over.
Every Christmas, that gets a little less funny.
Zelda appropriately sandbags that joke. Salem then starts asking for more eggnog, but Zelda denies him as his little kitty liver can't handle the booze.
Well, no. He asks for eggnog and asks that she put some extra Christmas cheer in there.
Yes. But who wants eggnog if it doesn't have alcohol in it?
People. There are people who drink it. I am not one of them.
Yeah. I used
just
to like eggnog a lot,
eggnog,
but...
like, grosses me out.
No, thanks. I don't even drink whole milk. I'm not going to drink eggnog. Shit's
no?
gross.
You don't want the nog?
No. I like to clog my arteries with chocolate cake, thank you. Anyway, Salem's pissed that he can't have alcohol. And he's already pissed, however, because this whole season makes him angry. Because, you know, he's a cat. He used to be a human, and now he's in a cat's body. Pretty appropriate to be mad about, I would say.
But cats have so much stuff to be happy about around Christmas.
Like, do they?
Knocking ornaments off of trees.
Yeah, but most cats didn't used to be human beings,
presents.
Chris. Remember?
Yeah, but you have to take your joy where you can find it.
I feel like you too often forget that Salem used to be a human being.
Bask in the simple pleasures, okay, Salem?
Well, maybe he would be basking if somebody hadn't robbed him of his humanity.
Oh, God.
Hadn't
That's
been robbing
whole
him.
Other level.
tune in next episode when Hilda makes that joke. Anyways, Salem's being a right jackass. And,
Like Al.
Like Al.
On Christmas.
I'm all of these characters, basically.
Yep.
Zelda then tells him that, listen, you don't have to like Christmas, but don't ruin it for everybody, you huge jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a quick aside to Sabrina's room where she's caroling to herself as she's getting dressed. And what does she see? That son
that
of a bitch.
That ass is not popping.
That ass is maybe 6 out of 10.
No, I actually didn't look at her ass. I don't even know if it's in the shot. But she does turn around and look in the mirror.
She
so.
Does, because that's when she sees that Salem has Freddy Krueger'd her fucking...
Christmas sweater.
A very Christmassy. To be fair, I would have kind of scratched that sweater up too. I didn't like it at all. She then goes downstairs to give Salem a talking to. She comes downstairs and asks Salem if he was in her closet and tells him that he ruined her sweater. He doesn't care at all and is hilarious.
Salem, were you in my closet again?
Yeah. So?
You ruined my favorite Christmas sweater?
Yeah. So?
Yeah, so?
Yeah. Nick Bakay here doing some great delivery. And a good episode for the character of Salem as a whole. This leads to an argument that Zelda quickly breaks up, telling Salem to apologize. However, he doesn't, go figure, snotty-ass cat that he is, because he says he's working on the right wording, as I'm sorry just doesn't sound right.
Because he's not.
Sorry.
That is true.
Yes, I agree. Sabrina is just done with Salem as she has to meet Harvey, but now she also has to go get changed.
Again, she's a witch. Could fix her sweater.
Fair point. Salem, feeling that he needs to throw in some more stupid ideas, decides to ask Sabrina to take him to the Slicery with her because he's got a right old case of cabin fever.
Yep.
Cat bin fever. Sorry. She obviously turns him down. The aunties then tell Salem to, when Sabrina comes back, just apologize and make it sound good as they leave him alone in the kitchen with, go figure, Sabrina's backpack, which just happens to be open. And Salem notices this, hops in the backpack, and as Sabrina returns, doesn't notice Salem in there, quickly and lazily zaps in Harvey's gift, which she totally forgot.
Bitch is just phoning it in, okay?
And she puts that in the bag and heads off to the Slicery to meet Harvey. First things first.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually a really kind of sad episode if you consider the character of Salem. Like, of course he's going to be a jackass. He used to be a human being that was taken away from him. Of course he committed a horrible crime, but what are you going to do? But now he's trapped in the body of a cat. He can't even have alcohol. He has to stay inside. We'll find out more sad articles about his life in the coming scenes. But it's actually a really, not fun, but interesting look into a character's perspective that you usually don't see on episodes of Sabrina Teenage Witch. I thought this was really well done from that angle.
I'll take some more eggnog, and this time don't skimp on the Christmas cheer.
Oh, no liquor for you, Salem. Your little kitty liver can't handle it.
Give me a break. You know I always get depressed this time of year.
Why?
Well, for one thing, I'm a cat.
Come on. Just try and have a little Christmas spirit.
Fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la.
What'd you think?
I just had an idea that maybe Salem was just a less successful Lord Voldemort, where he plotted for world domination. He was like a witch who plotted for world domination, and they caught him too early. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lord Voldemort got more.
What do you think his horcruxes would be?
Huh. I don't know, because you don't really know much about pre-Cat Salem.
You don't, but there is a great episode seasons away when Salem like gets zapped into the body of Gordy.
Yeah.
That one's fucking great. But yeah, he has every right to be pissed, in all honesty. He's got to be a cat for 100 fucking years, and he can't have any alcohol. And as we later find out, he has to shit in a box.
Well, the fact that he is a cat and can live for 100 years is ridiculous.
Well, it's because he's a witch.
Well, yeah, but...
not all... I hate to break it to you. Not all cats can live for 100 years.
You would think that his kitty liver could take it, because if it can take hundreds of years of existing, then I'm pretty sure whatever healing powers it has, it's going to be able to heal some booze.
Fair point. Give him some schnapps or something.
Yeah.
Test him out with some schnapps. I also thought that, as we touched on before, Nick Bakay doing a great job here with the delivery. Everything from
awesome.
Even the cabin fever delivery is just all, it's casual and it's snotty. It's all great.
Forget it. I don't have time for this. I've got to meet Harvey at the slicery, but now I've got to change thanks to you.
Since you thanked me, can I ask a favor?
Excuse me, Kat? You want a favor?
Yeah, can I tag along to the slicery? I got a touch of cabin fever, and I'd really like
to. Are you insane? I wouldn't bring you to the slicery if you're the last person / cat on Earth.
As far as outfits go, did you like Hilda's Zelda-esque like flowery top here? It kind of looked like the top from the last one.
It wasn't as nice, though.
No, it wasn't sheer.
It was, but not as sheer.
Yeah.
It was more opaque.
This is where we also have to discuss, as we're talking about outfits, Sabrina's crushed, velvety, kind of cropped, pink, fuzzy, putrid abomination of a sweater that she comes out wearing after she changes. Mm-hmm. You didn't think it was that bad.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I was horrified.
I think because, I don't know if she wears it again.
She wears it throughout the whole episode.
It's No. But I mean in later episodes.
Oh,
because it's one of those things that sticks in my head. Like, I remember that sweater.
She has like a ton of really bad Christmas fashions. Just thinking through some of the Christmas episodes, there's one in season 4 where she like wears like a full length dress that has a hood.
Yes, I remember. Sleeveless.
Good God. Just wear
and
a button
down. I
think
it was also velvet.
It was velvet, yeah. Because they were all wearing velvet in that one scene. It was weird as hell. Also, how lazy does Sabrina have to be? You're a witch. You can get Harvey anything, and you just have to zap it in, and yet you wait until the last minute. And when we find out what you got, Harvey, you're a really fucking lazy pain in the ass. And Harvey puts a lot of effort into your gift.
Yeah, what the fuck would she gonna get him, though?
I mean, I don't know.
He's a teenage boy.
Let's see, it was 1996.
Unless you're giving him boobs,
he doesn't really care. An Apple Newton. Maybe he would have enjoyed that.
Boobs.
Boobs would also be nice. Just giving him two boobs would be horrifying, really. Speaking of boobs, by the way, for the greatest transition ever.
And I kind of disagree with you on this.
I already know
what you're going to say.
Yeah. Zelda, Beth Broderick, God love her, needs to be wearing a bra, and she's not.
I don't think she isn't, actually.
I don't know.
I think the bra that she's wearing is not one that has padding, so it doesn't create that rounded shape that you're used to seeing under clothes. It's literally like her boob shape, like you see.
No,
her.
But it looked like droopy.
But they weren't bouncing. Like, they weren't like, when she moved, it wasn't like the movement that you get when you don't wear a bra.
I don't know. I hope somebody gives her a fucking Victoria's Secret gift card in her stocking this year.
I really think it was just that she was wearing like an unlined bra.
Okay.
So basically it's like,
it's just fabric.
Lace or whatever. It's just like a sack, essentially. And then the underwire.
Yeah.
But you complete, like, whatever shape your boob is, that's the
shape
that you
get. She needs support, is my point here. All right? She needs support.
She has support, because that's why you have underwire. But what she doesn't have is that shape.
Yeah.
that you're used to seeing.
That high-chested, the man in the high chest. I'm just making terrible references now. We're only like 15 minutes
and
into this podcast.
Even if she wasn't wearing a bra, who cares?
No, I'm just saying I noticed and I think she should be.
Why?
I just think it looks better.
Why?
Personal preference.
Okay, but why does she have to dress to your personal preference?
Because this is a podcast where I speak about my preferences and judgments of a 20-year-old teen sitcom.
But her wearing a bra isn't really whether or not her clothes was good.
Chris, I just spoke for a minute and a half about a crushed velvet sweater, okay?
Yeah, okay.
I know
so
who I am.
If you were going to talk about, you know, what her top looks like.
I'm going to cut all of this out.
But her decision to wear a bra or not to wear a bra, which I think she's wearing one, or the type of bra
you know
she's
what?
Wearing.
I'm going to reach out to Beth Broderick and ask her if she's wearing a bra in this shot.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Okay. My buddy Caroline Ray will help me out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, anyway, we arrive at the slicery and Sabrina enters apologizing to Harvey for being late. But he says it's cool as he used the time to bone up on his Sports Illustrated and prepare for a church conversation with his dad. He has a really weird, like, we
also
only,
why are you talking about sports during church? It's church.
That's, well, that's a joke.
Shut the hell up.
That's a joke, but the weird thing is we learn a lot about Harvey's relationship with his father from these throwaway lines, and it
always
doesn't seem to be good at all.
No, but that's the point of it.
I know.
Stereotype.
He gives her her gift and makes her skip all the, oh, look how excited I am about it, because he's really nervous about whether or not she'll like it. It's a silver choker, as we learn, and she tells him that she loves it as he helps her get it on.
Yeah,
yeah, he does.
Diggity.
Al, your jokes suck terrible. That's right. That's a phrase you use.
They are terrible.
I said suck terrible.
Suck terrible.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like a crappy vacuum cleaner. She then gives him her present for him, even though Salem has somehow torn all the paper.
You literally zapped it and then put it straight in your bag. How would he have gotten to it, you idiot?
And yeah, how would he have gotten to it and not be in your bag?
I mean, really?
He finishes unwrapping it and discovers that it's a cranberry scarf. A very nice scarf. They marvel at how they each got each other neckwear as a creepy pizza man then calls their order. That being the Christmas pizza with red and green bell peppers.
Which sounds delicious.
That sounds pretty fun. I don't even need a lot of pizza. I'd eat that pizza. Unless
can we get that for like Christmas?
We can.
Like, not Christmas, but like
pre-Christmas.
Before Christmas?
Yeah. Provided the creepy man isn't the one making it, because I don't trust him. They go to pick up the pizza as Salem pops his head out of the book bag to marvel at how dumpy the slicery is. Harvey soon realizes that he's standing underneath a pile of something with Sabrina.
Pile?
Bunch?
A bundle.
Bundle. It's not parsley, you dumb son of a bitch. It's obviously mistletoe. It obviously is.
It's oregano. What are you talking about?
He didn't even say oregano. That would always make some sense, although not really. It's just a big
parsley.
Bundle
cilantro.
Of parsley hanging in the fucking pizzeria. Anyway, the creepy man
Which
then
makes sense because it's a pizzeria.
Creepy man then gets super creepy as he gives us a bit of horrifying dialogue and encourages Harvey to give Sabrina a Christmas kiss.
Mistletoe?
Yeah. Go ahead, give her a Christmas kiss. I bet she'd like that, wouldn't you?
Okay.
It's
no.
The way he says it.
It is, and no.
Go ahead, give her a kiss.
Give her a Christmas kiss.
And he says something.
She'd like, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and then she vigorously nods in his also very creepy way.
She does. Everything then gets romantic as some sexy Christmas music plays. Things are getting oddly. Please stop that.
And then nothing happens.
No, because just as they go in for the kiss, Salem spots a rat running around the pizzeria and lunges out of the bag to go get it. And everyone, for some reason, gets scared that there's a cat. I guess people were afraid of cats. Black cats. Maybe they didn't want to cross the path.
I think
I
it was just the shock of there being an animal running around the place.
Yes. Sabrina's unshocked.
Suddenly,
Sabrina is shocked to see Salem as the manager asks, who let the cat in?
Who let the cat out?
Who? Again, who sang that song?
Bahaman.
Bahaman. Also not on this episode of Sabrina Teenage Witch. Sabrina then says that he must have hopped into her bag as the pizza manager gets really close to her face to say that they don't let animals in here. Sabrina accurately then points out that you let a fucking mouse in, which he quickly and then loudly denies to make sure that everyone knows there is no mouse. Crazy blonde girl is crazy. She wanted the kiss from Harvey. How crazy. I'd take one of those. The manager then tells her to get Salem out of here, but stops her from leaving through the front door as it's a health risk, instead pushing her through the kitchen. We then get to see the back of the slicery where Mr. Manager gives Sabrina the bum's rush, adding, "And don't come back."
Yeah.
Turns very saucy for a second.
He's just creepy in every way.
Absolutely.
"And don't come back."
Salem basically tells him to fuck off. Okay, Chris. Whole slicery scene here.
Yeah.
First thing, that necklace is not a choker. It's just a regular necklace.
No, it's a choker, but it's not a choker in the sense that we know chokers. Like, it's not a choker where it's glued to her neck.
Right.
Anything that's, like, high, like this,
yeah,
where it sits here, is a choker.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was a little longer on her.
Yeah. And you
but also because it had that part in the middle that dipped down.
Mm-hmm. And you expect, especially in the 90s, you expect the choker to be, like, you know.
Yeah, but I think that's...
I'm choking myself right now, folks.
A 2016 representation of what 90s chokers were.
Harvey has been shown to be pretty dense in the past, though. But honestly, it's Christmas. There's a bundle of green stuff hanging over your head. You're not this dumb, okay? You know what it is. Read a book, Harvey. Chris, what do you have to add here?
Honestly, not much.
Really?
The guy was super creepy.
He was. He's also, he's been in a lot of stuff, but like, I remember him most from an episode of Frasier, where he's like Frasier and Niles' mechanic, like teacher, like teaches them how to work on cars.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I knew I recognized him. I didn't know where.
He's been in a lot of stuff. But seriously, don't encourage guys to kiss girls against their will. I mean, he does ask if she wants.
Yeah.
He asks, but still, just make the pizzas and keep your fucking...
commentary out of it.
Seriously. And take your parsley down also. In the alley, behind the slicery, Sabrina gives Salem hell for getting her thrown out of the slicery, as it's the only place she has any privacy. Salem, who somehow finds his way into a dumpster, tells her not to talk about privacy to him because he's the one who has to shit in a fucking box in the kitchen.
"You got me kicked out of the slicery. It's the one place I had a little privacy.
Don't talk to me about privacy. I'm the one who has to relieve himself in a box in the middle of the kitchen. You know how hard it is to get that faraway stare going.
Well, like anyone's watching."
After some more arguing, Harvey walks up as he got the pizza to go. And Sabrina tells him that she's just getting some attitude from her cat. Hashtag catitude. Use it. Sabrina also wishes she could choke the hell out of Salem. And she does some suggestive choky hand motions. Harvey tells Sabrina not to get so hard on Salem. That doesn't. Harvey tells Sabrina not to be so hard on Salem, as he just has a small brain size of a walnut. Sabrina then just repeatedly yells stupid in Salem's face, which is a bit mean. I mean, leave the cat alone. He has to shit in a box in the kitchen.
Defense, he's being a dick.
Well, yeah, but in his
defense, he's being a dick, and he's refusing to apologize when he's a dick.
In his defense, he has to shit in a box in the kitchen.
So what? He has to shit in a box that he doesn't have to clean.
All right. I agree with you. In all honesty, obviously Salem's being a dick. I'm playing the devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
Keep going. Yeah. Okay. As Harvey gives Sabrina a moment with Salem, she tells him to hop in the bag, but he tells her that he doesn't need her to take him home. And tells that biped to get lost. Look at you. You walk on 2 feet. Fuck off. 2 feet.
Skedaddle.
That was a quote, by the way. Sabrina is just done with Salem and leaves him sitting in the trash as she and Harvey head home. At home, Hilda and Zelda are furiously arguing about who's going to do the cooking, as Zelda's done it every Christmas for 280 years. Hilda eventually relents and zaps in a full Christmas feast, still noting that she hates the cook. Just then, we hear the voice of Monty as he enters the house without being invited in. bringing glad tidings, Figgy Pudding, and his friend, Newt. Not Gingrich, a literal Newt. Zelda tells him that everyone is welcome to their house on Christmas, and he's glad to hear it, of course, as he then reveals his other guest coming out of a suitcase, that being his girlfriend, Lulu.
Come forth, my lovely ladies. Meet Lulu.
Happy holidays. Oh, it's awful cramped, and then do you mind if I stretch?
Isn't she a pip?
Oh, she's pippy, all right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I get that she's a contortionist.
She is.
But why do you have to bring her in a suitcase?
Have you seen how expensive it is to fly during the holidays?
They're witches.
Yeah.
They're all witches. She could zap herself. He doesn't even have to zap her.
I like to think maybe they, like, she walked up to the house normally and she was like, I got this great idea.
Oh my God. We
I'll get in the suitcase. Them. You wheel me in and then make sure not to knock or ring the doorbell first. Just walk in.
Yeah.
God, I love Monty though. So she comes out and does some contorting to everyone's amazement. Sabrina then enters confused because there's a woman contorting in her room. Her living room. That's what it's called. She's sure glad she didn't invite Harvey in. Zelda introduces everyone, and Sabrina then makes a joke about being able to curl her tongue, which falls on deaf ears, as it should. They all ask where Salem is, because, you know, where's that cool talking cat of yours? She just tells them that she left him in a dumpster, and they shouldn't worry, however, as he's a cat that can literally call a cab if he gets in trouble. Okay, Chris. Going back to that dingy alley behind the slicery where Salem, for some reason, decides to hop into a dumpster. I honestly do feel a little bit bad for Salem, though, as I said many times. I mean, he's poor guy's a cat and he has a shit in a box, but that's beside the point. What did you think here? Didn't Harvey look real cute with his scarf?
Yeah.
He looks real, like, with his scarf and his leather jacket. I'm like, damn.
It's never his scarf. It's his hair. His hair, he doesn't need anything else.
When Sabrina walks into the slicery, his hair is just like on 11. Yeah. It's fucking great.
I don't understand how he gets that like volume in his hair. It's just like. Shoosh.
This is the great commentary that only Christina Araujo provides.
I'm sorry, but you know what?
Yes.
I keep it real.
His much, hair was much like a certain rapper we'll meet in a few scenes. We're really building up the rapper who's going to show up.
And it's not that big a deal, really.
I mean, in 1996, it was a big deal.
But he didn't rap.
Did you like the cooking joke where Hill and Zelda argue?
Yes, that was good.
I liked it as they finally use magic for something worthwhile. It's good.
I wonder if the food tastes different.
I don't know. It's probably great. Because in Harry Potter, it's like trolls cooking all the food in the basement of Hogwarts, right?
No.
I thought it was.
No.
I thought that's
what
it was.
Trolls?
Well, it's elves. It's like house elves, isn't it? Yeah, but that's weird too, because they have magic and yet they make a bunch of slave elves cook.
They're not slaves.
They're totally indentured. Slaves. Indentured servitude is slavery. Okay? Crack open your history book.
Honestly, I don't remember.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, because there's the whole campaign to free them.
Yeah, and in order to free a free one, you have to give it clothes or something. You have to give it a piece of your property or whatever. What did you think of Monty? I know you don't like Monty, but what did you think of him?
I think he's a douche. Mm-hmm. I think he's pompous. I don't think he's very relatable. I think his lines are stupid.
Okay.
And I don't like his jokes.
I'm going to discredit everything you said.
I'm not going to discredit it because it's valued.
Here we go. Hop on with Discredit Express. Don't whip out your bank card because we don't discredit. I'm sorry. That one's getting cut out so fucking fast. All right. The thing about Monty is he's played by Dana Gould, who can be funny. I've watched some of his stand-up comedy. It's very loud. It's very 90s. I love the character of Monty, however, because he's very unrelatable, as you said, but everything he says, I think, is hilarious. He's got this snobbish,
None
like...
of what he says is hilarious.
I'll get to it. He's got this snobbish, kind of foppy delivery about everything, and he's just, like, from another world. Like, when he's talking about how, when Wu comes out of the suitcase, how he wishes he could have married money, but he's attracted to this.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. It's really, really funny.
I honestly thought it fell pretty flat. Like, I understood what he was going for, but I didn't think it was funny. I thought it fell flat. And I don't think the people who were watching the show or anyone who likes the show would have gone for that kind of joke either.
We'll let the listener decide.
Oh, I wish I could have married money like Cole Porter, but Lord help me, I'm attracted to this.
I think he's just a funny, like, eccentric character, and I think a lot of his dialogue is entertaining. And some of his delivery is pretty good. One last thing. When they ask Sabrina where Salem is, she retorts with, last time I saw him, he was in the dumpster behind the slicery. We've all been there, am I right? Jeez. In the dumpster behind this. Maybe it's not even a dumpster full of garbage. Maybe it's a dumpster full of prejudice.
No.
That's a Simpsons joke from... you know what? If you tell me which episode of The Simpsons that joke is from, listener, I'll do something. Promises. I will do something. Maybe I'll send you a fun gif of something. At Sabrina Podcast on Twitter. Okay, Chris. We're back in the alley now. Taking it back to the streets. In the alley, Salem is happily singing some sea shanties. Or chanties.
Whichever you prefer.
To nobody but the conspicuous poster of Coolio in the background. That'll probably not factor in a couple of scenes. He finishes singing and decides to head on home as he's kept the Spellmans waiting long enough. Just as he jumps out of the dumpster, he lands directly in front of a child riding his bike through this grungy alley for some reason. The child luckily stops short. The kid checks on Salem and gives us some terrible delivery, determining that he's all right, but he'd better take him home just to be sure.
Kitty, kitty, are you all right? You don't look hurt. But I'd better take you home to make sure.
Elsewhere, Monty is drinking some hot mulled cider and not making a terrible mulled cider joke.
He might have made that joke. We just didn't see it.
As he starts making
Let
it.
Let me mull it over.
He starts making it and Zelda's just like, stop. We already did that one.
No, Zelda laughs. And then Hilda's like, motherfucker. Hilda's just really?
Looking him down. Doesn't even say anything. He rests the teacup on Wooloo's abs as it tickles her because all she's really is just a bit of scenery. Hilda then hears a sound outside the door and goes to check on it as she thinks it might be Salem. It turns out it's a bunch of jackass kids who decide to pelt her with some snowballs.
Yes.
She gets back at them, however, as she quickly zaps in some ice to make them slip and fall.
Slippery floor.
Slippery floor. Salem is then brought up again as Newt starts to wonder where he is, and Sabrina decides he's probably somewhere having the time of his life. He's not. He's really not. We then see where Salem is, and he is inside the boy's room wearing a pink shower cap and a nightgown.
It's like a sleeping cap. It's not a shower cap.
It looks whatever. It's
but it's like the old lady.
It is. It was adorable, in all honesty. Oh, holy nightgown. Am I right?
No.
Come on.
Get out.
Jealous.
Leave.
You didn't think of.
I understand that this is your podcast, but no. Get out.
Give me your notes. Get out. I'll do the rest myself. Anyway, he's being medically examined by the boy, and boy determines he's going to live.
At all.
Hey, it's not fucking pizza manager creepy. Luckily, as I said, he finds Salem will be living through this ordeal. Just then, his father walks in and discovers that Rex, as we find out, has a cat. Rex asks him if he can keep Salem, but his father says he's not sure as his wife doesn't really like pets, and they already lost that snake. Big snake. Where's that snake? He tells Rex to keep the cat in his room, and they'll talk about it with Rex's mom later. Rex then informs him that he already has a name for the cat. What's the name, Chris?
Stinky.
T-H. Stinky.
Stinky.
Fucking kid in his wisp. Belt him right in the face. But two then head off to dinner, leaving Salem alone to curse the kid out. We then see Wooloo, and everybody's at the table, and we see Wooloo with her leg around Monty's neck. Which is gross as they're eating.
Yeah. And but things, she has nice feet.
She's a contortionist. Things then even get way, way more gross as Monty says that, you know, he loves Lulu or whatever, and then kisses her on the foot. She's a contortionist. That's some gross ass shit. You don't know where that foot's been. God. Cleanliness, folks. The aunts then again start to worry about where Salem is and why he hasn't come home yet. But Sabrina, still angry at him, just says that, listen, he's got a fur coat. He'll be fine. All right. We'll start in the alley where Salem meets Rex, as we found out. What do you think about the character of Rex and Seth Atkins, who plays Rex?
I think he's an evil genius.
Go on. Please to describe.
I mean...
Who rides their fucking bike through an alley, first of all?
Yeah, what the fuck is he doing in the alley?
It's a grunge-ass alley.
It's a grungy alley, and he's like six.
Grungy alley, of course, being Kirstie Alley's...
mean.
Drug addict
Get
cousin.
Get out of here.
You were saying?
It's dark.
Yes.
And he's like six. And he's riding his bike down through an alley.
Yeah. Dangerous.
On his own. At high speeds, obviously.
Yep.
Like, the cat couldn't get out of the way.
A good 2 miles an hour.
High speeds. What the fuck? Also.
Yes.
Indulging your child with a vanity plate.
We'll find out later. Yeah.
Actually, I had
one.
A vanity plate.
Yeah, me too. Fuck, you're making fun of yourself.
I never put it on my bike.
I did. I put it on my bike. Wow. Yeah. Going to go right through an alley and hit some cats.
so stupid.
All right, let's talk about Rex's room.
Yeah. He's got everything.
Oh, my God. It is a horrifying just amalgam of ugly 90s kids patterns.
And
like
toys.
And toys. But the fucking bedspread, which is just like fabric that has a bunch of bugs printed on it with their names. And it's big and like overly colorful.
That's how kids' rooms really are. Like, kids' rooms are just a hodgepodge of interests. They're not like, you know, when you see kids' rooms on TV and, like, everything is a theme and it all goes together. No. Kids' rooms are just a fucking mess of shit all over the place that one thing doesn't have anything to do with the other.
I mean, that may be true, but the...
I appreciated it.
You appreciated it, didn't you?
I appreciated that, you know, it had a sense of honesty in that. That it was just, you could see that it wasn't just, he's one, like, a flat character. He has different interests. He has, like, you could imagine, oh, this is this toy that he got
right.
from this, and this is...
Where do you get that pink guitar?
I mean, obviously, Grandma gave it to him.
No, but see, that doesn't bother me so much. What bothers me is, like, just all the contrasting and... horrifying to the eye patterns. Like, his like rear wall is wallpapered with this like taffy vertical striped wallpaper that's just, it doesn't belong on earth. It's really unattractive. Not unattractive, however, with Salem in that cute ass nightgown. All right, it's adorable.
It was kind of gross because it was the puppet Salem.
Yes,
it were real Salem.
There's somewhere he's wearing the nightgown, I think.
I don't think so. I think there's one later where he's not wearing it anymore.
That's true.
When he's planning the attack.
That's true. Because he gets all washed up for Santa.
Santa.
The weirdest thing, however, is why does Rex have that? What is he doing with that cat nightgown?
Obviously, one of his interests is playing with dolls.
And
it's a baby
making
doll.
Clothing for cats.
Thing,
right? The fuck is it doing in this kid's room? Still unequivocally great. His wallpaper, however, you might describe that as the Nightmare Before Christmas. I've got like four more of these, so get ready. Soon Sabrina tries to change the subject as she's sick of talking about Salem and changes it to Monty. Just as he starts to describe about how he was born in a White House in Nebraska, the actual fuck, the phone rings, and Sabrina goes to answer it in the kitchen. It's Salem, who's calling on Rex's very 90s cordless phone. While she's initially sarcastic about talking to Salem, she's quickly surprised to hear that he's been kidnapped and he's wearing a nightgown. Second part is a little bit more surprising than the first. He gives her the story and adds that he saw the house door right before Rex brought him inside. It was a white door with a wreath. Just then, as Salem was about to talk some more, Rex stops him, picks up the phone, and reminds him that phones are not for Kitty or Stinky or whatever the hell his terrible actor says. He picks up the phone and asks who it is, and Sabrina answers and asks if he has her cat. Rex, then being a massive cockhead, tells Sabrina that, sorry, Sabrina, he's my cat now.
Hello, who is this?
Sabrina, do you have my cat?
Sorry, Sabrina, he's my cat now.
There it is. Dead on. Don't I have that 6-year-old cockhead delivery down? That is, if I do ever run for president, that's going to be one of the sentences that they play that just takes me right out of it.
Yep.
He then hangs up and chastises Salem again, as I said, for using the phone, and then informs him that he's got to go eat now, but later he's going to give him a bath, so he's all clean for who, Chris?
Santa.
Thank you. Sabrina, hearing a dead phone, asks, what have I done? And Salem,
dun dun dun.
Thank you. Fearing the bath that's about to come, does the exact same. When we return, Sabrina rushes into the dining room to tell everyone that Salem's been kidnapped by a wispy little boy. Monty then offers to give him whatever he wants, but Sabrina informs him that all he really wants is Salem. Monty, however, makes sure that everyone heard that he offered. Remember, I offered. Sabrina asks her aunts if there's anything they can do with magic to find Salem, but Zelda
kills
gives
a boy.
Dead. Avada,
effective.
What is
okay.
It? Avada Kedavra? Is that the...
Avada Kedavra.
Yeah, put him right down. Zelda, informs him that, sorry, Sabrina, you have to wait 24 hours to file a missing witch's claim, which is some right bullshit.
Look, we have to get him back. Can we use magic to find him?
You can't file a missing witch's report for 24 hours.
Oh, but we can't wait a whole day?
She then gives them all the information that she has about Salem, the white door, the wreath. They rightfully point out that this is useless because it's fucking Christmas Eve, so every door has a wreath on it. After getting some more info, she throws in the interesting bit about the nightgown. They decide to head to the scene of the crime, that being the alley, grunge-ass alley, behind the slicery. Monty and Lulu initially decide to go with them, but Lulu has her feet crossed over her head and decides not to uncross them, so they decide to stay home and hold down the fort instead. Okay, Chris.
Yeah.
Somehow, I was in my note here, somehow Salem's nightgown is actually just the second worst piece of pink clothing in the scene, as Sabrina's still wearing that gross-ass sweater. But, did this color your view of Rex at all? Making him a major asshole in your eyes?
I still think he's an evil genius.
He's just more evil. He's not really that smart.
Yeah, he is.
How?
He says, fuck you. You can't do anything to me.
Just like an evil genius
would. You don't know where your cat is. Hang up. Done.
True.
Boom.
Can we talk about the missing witches report, however? That's fucking tripe. Okay, a couple of episodes ago, Sabrina managed to literally turn lead into gold through magic. Now she can't just like zap herself next to Salem and take him, or zap Salem next to her. They do it later on. Like I vividly remember an episode where like they're in the kitchen and they just zap in Salem and he's in like a little kitty bathtub. Like they do it. Why not just do it now? I know why, because there's a third act.
You have to know where he is to zap him in.
Some bullshit. Okay.
It's a common theme in magical shows.
Fucking put that kid down with some Avada Kedavra and he ain't got no problems. Teach him. As I said, Lulu is just...
If Salem were still human and Lord Voldemort, like I
That's right.
said...
Maybe one of his Horcruxes is that little pink guitar. No one would ever
Maybe.
Look for it. Right? Think about it. Or a certain Neil Diamond box set.
Spatula.
Oh, God damn it. Anything else to add here, Chris?
No.
No?
None.
You didn't like Lulu with the obvious, like, legs crossed over her head?
It was obvious. And then he was like, oh, let me help. And then
didn't do anything. It's just like, let me help. Bitch, uncross your legs. And we're set to go. Honestly, come on, Lulu.
But it's so gratuitous. It's just constant.
God, it belongs like, in the hall of gratuitous praise.
I don't care if you're a contortionist. You can literally sit on a chair like a fucking normal person.
Yeah, really. Especially when you're trying to eat. I would like it if she was eating with
you
her feet.
You have hands. You could use them.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, contortionists don't, like, ignore their arms.
No. And they... It's like, if I'm a painter, that doesn't mean I'm just going to paint everything. Like, it's your job, and I get that, you know, it's something you like, but that doesn't mean that you're constantly contorting your body.
Yeah. I mean,
24/7.
It is obviously gratuitous, but like I said, before the show, if you hire a contortionist to be on your show, they damn well better be contorting in every scene they're in.
It's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
Especially when she's probably not a great actress. Like, do what you can do, honey. Put your legs over your head and cross your feet.
She was better than Monty.
You're wrong.
I thought she was.
His delivery about, remember, I offered, was pretty fucking funny, too.
What does he want? I'll pay whatever it is.
He doesn't want money. He wants Salem.
But remember, I offered.
Dana Gould, everybody. He was also, I looked up his IMDb. He also served as a producer on The Simpsons for like over a decade.
Must have been the boring decade.
2000 to like 2010 or 2016. Yeah. I don't know. Pretty recently. Good for him. All right. Back to the episode here. We then see a quick cutaway to Salem looking out of Rex's window and like really sadly singing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen to himself, ending with he's so alone. It's really...
I'm so alone.
Really pretty good acting, voice acting by Nick Bakay here.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. I'm so alone.
In a flash, we're back to the slicery where Zelda's wearing a ridiculous coat and peeping through the window before heading to the back alley to tell Sabrina that nobody's inside. Zelda asks where Hilda went, and Hilda quickly pops out of the dumpster. Out of the dumpster, like so many of my dates. In full hazmat regalia, complaining about people not eating the crusts, why they're her favorite part.
Agreed.
I actually hate crusts.
Crusts are awesome.
I don't really like them.
That lovely saucy bit right at the edge of the crust. Yeah.
Look for Chris's new podcast, The Saucy Bit.
Don't even joke. That would be my podcast.
About what? Pizzas?
About me being saucy. Fuck.
Mount pizzas? The hell is that?
Yeah, or other saucy things.
Okay. Sabrina then says that there's nothing here.
Comment if you want that to happen.
Like, comment, and subscribe to The Saucy Bit. All right, we're on episode 97 of The Saucy Bit. God, we're talking about this piece of fish, I guess. I don't know.
There are lots of saucy things, Al.
Yes.
Saucy sauce.
Just like my last date. No.
Dumpster girl who was saucy sauce.
Saucy dumpster girl. Hit me up, saucy dumpster girl. All right. Anyway.
225.
347. No. Sabrina.
No, I meant like saucy dumpster girl 225 is her handle.
Christ. Dumpster sauce 1966. I don't know.
66.
She's rather old. Okay. Back to the actual show here. Sabrina says that there's nothing, there's no evidence in this alley, as the only person who would have seen anything is that poster of Coolio. So Zelda's like, well, let's ask the poster of Coolio, and does a little bit of zappy zap, and out pops Coolio to some vague, like, rap beat filler music.
Yep.
Pretty accurate description there. Mm-hmm. They ask Coolio if he saw their cat, and he mentions that he sees a lot of cats, so you gotta be more specific. And they are, mentioning that he fucking talks.
Coolio. Cool. We need some information.
Oh, well, as you can see, that's right up my alley.
We were wondering if you'd seen our cat.
Well, hanging out in this alley, I see a lot of cats, so you gotta be more specific.
Well, he's a black cat about this tall, and he talks.
Oh, the talking cat. I remember him. He was singing sea chanties. Then he got hit by a bike.
He got hit? Was he hurt?
Nah, but the kid took him home just to be sure.
Coolio remembers Salem and tells him the whole story about him nearly getting hit by Rex and how Rex took him home just to make sure he was okay. He also adds which way Rex went, which I believe was down and to the left. Same way John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Similar themes? Yes? No?
Seriously?
Okay. What do you got? Got funny jokes? Huh? Krusty Bit 377? Hmm?
Saucy Bit Bitch, okay?
Saucy Bit Bitch. Follow Chris at Saucy Bit Bitch.
That's what the Saucy Bit is short
for. I'm
going to
cut all of this crap out.
Come on. First of all, you shouldn't because it's gold.
Scold?
Scold.
Okay. Ice cold.
I will scold.
Ice cold.
Okay.
Terrible.
Ice cold?
Yeah. Terrible. Yeah. Okay. He also notes that the kid had a vanity plate that said Rex.
Which is Latin for king.
Yes. Clearly, Coolio has a Latin degree he's trying to show off here.
You don't know him.
Sabrina then decides to hit him up for some tickets. Hilda then gets super street. And Coolio is left to run away as quickly as possible, as he does, and quickly hops back into the poster to the sounds of more generic rap beats. Empowered by their newfound knowledge and their new best friend Coolio, Sabrina and the rest of the Spellmans set off to knock on doors and try and find Salem, leading to a quick montage of each of them knocking on the same door over and over again. Clearly the same white door. Of note during this montage, at one point Sabrina knocks on a door with the numbers backwards.
Yes.
Yeah. And maybe the best part of this whole montage is at one point Zelda knocks on a door and that door is answered by Nick Bakay, the voice of Salem, who holds a bit of parsley over his head.
Yep.
And asks for a smooch. Zelda ain't having it and just walks away as Nick Bakay just holds the smooch face.
Hold the smooch face.
Great guy. Hashtag hold that smooch face, though.
What's wrong with you? Being
trendy here on Sabrina's Witch Trials. Okay. Back in Rex's room, Salem plots a MacGyver-style escape plan, as we've all done in our minds whenever we're in a boring conversation.
I need a plan. What would MacGyver do? You know, if he were a cat. It's a crazy idea, but it just might... Nah, that won't work. But that might.
Somehow, his plan involves rigging a literal net to trap Rex, he being a cat. While this somehow works and Salem traps Rex on the floor and escapes, this is all ruined pretty quickly when Salem is stopped by Rex's human father, who picks Salem up and gives him back to Rex. Rex then notes that he'll make sure this never happens again in a kind of ominous and scary tone. Like he's going to break Salem's kitty paws.
I'm sorry, Daddy. It'll never happen again. I'll make sure of that.
Sabrina then knocks on Rex's door, luckily enough. And who goes to answer? Rex. She asks him if he's seen her cat, and he says that his mom doesn't allow him to have any pets. So, of course, I haven't seen your cat. Get lost, crazy blonde girl. While she initially starts buying it, she soon recognizes that he has a lisp, and when his mom calls him Rex, she basically starts to just, like, shake him down for her cat.
Where the fuck my cat at, bitch?
It's pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
Calm the fuck down.
You have a lisp.
So?
What's your name?
None of your business.
Rex! Who's at the door?
Rex, you have my cat. Give me back my cat!
Let's talk about this. Let's go back to the main event of this episode, really. The appearance of Coolio.
Oh, okay.
Come on. As you walk through the Valley of the Shadow of Joy, that's one of mine also.
Nope.
I've got like three more. Chris, how big a deal was Coolio in 1996? You're a bit older than me.
I don't remember.
There was Gangster's Paradise, and that was about it.
That was him?
Yeah.
I didn't even remember that being him.
What Coolio song?
I just vaguely remember him.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
That hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of his songs.
Okay.
I was listening to fucking Spice Girls, okay?
True.
And NSYNC. Like, a little bit of Britney Spears. Like,
yeah.
That was pretty much...
It's 96 a little early for Britney.
Jam.
Did you like Coolio's appearance here? Because...
It was fine.
First, the poster tells us that he's appearing at the Westbridge Auditorium. So that exists.
Jeez.
It's probably like a 30,000 seat amphitheater, like fucking Madison Square Garden in the middle of this small Massachusetts town. It is kind of weird to have Coolio appear on this teen sitcom. Like, this might be weirder than Randy Travis. Because, like, he was popular in the 90s or 1996, really, but I don't know what portion of his fan base intersects with the teenage witch sitcom fan base.
I think there were a lot of little white kids who loved Coolio.
Thought they were boss, badass.
Yeah, I don't think boss was the word that they were using.
I've got my decades mixed up.
Yeah, no, I think just like there were lots of people who liked Eminem in the 2000s, I think there were a lot of white kids who liked Tupac and Biggie and, yeah, you know.
And still do. I do. I'm a Tupac fan. I just like one Tupac song, in all honesty.
Who so am you're I kidding? Not really a Tupac fan.
I like Tupac like everyone liked Coolio. One song and that's it.
But that's the thing. Like, I think it was just good PR for him.
Yeah.
And there were, you know, a lot of white kids who liked rap.
It seemed to me like his dialogue was...
Plus, I don't think Sabrina was particularly a white show. I mean,
until Quizmaster showed up, it was a pretty white show.
No, I don't mean...
Only
the people on it. Right, I mean, black people watched it.
Certainly.
There's
yeah.
no, you know, race limit to who watched Sabrina.
I certainly
not
hope
that
not.
I know of.
No. If you're of African American origin or descent, and didn't watch Sabrina, but you're somehow listening to the show, please let me know why.
I don't know why.
I thought Coolio's dialogue, however, like really seemed like it fit more for Monty. Like the joke about that being right up his alley. That's a very, like, foppish kind of, like, you know, saucy man line, as where Coolio I expect to be like, the fuck do you pull me out of this poster for?
See, but that's kind of why I liked it. This might be why I liked Coolio more than I liked Monty, because okay. I feel like you sort of expect for him to be, like, what fucking Hilda's doing, like, more street and, like...
Awesome. Awesome.
You know? And... He knows Latin meaning for words,
he does.
And he's very well spoken and
is.
Very direct.
I mean, it's certainly funny. It's just like it throws you. It's certainly out of left field.
That's why I like it.
I agree.
I think what makes it interesting is that it's not what you would expect. So
did you like the generic rap beats that he enters
no,
and exits
I,
from?
I did not.
God, it's like track number 14 on the rap music 99-cent store track. Word to your mother, Chris? Did
no,
you?
No.
Were
she's
you down?
My mother too.
Were you down?
No.
You weren't down. I thought it was fucking hilarious, honestly. Like
it was
I
not. It was
I
awkward.
I do love the trope of white people trying to act cool around black people, and this is fucking fantastic. I mean, Hilda. I would love to see a spinoff of Hilda and Coolio hanging out.
Hanging with Mr. Coolio.
Homies for the holidays, perhaps.
Don't let Hallmark hear you.
It's pretty good, though. Caroline Ray and Coolio could actually star in that Hallmark movie.
They could. Oh. Everybody, tweet at Hallmark.
Yeah, I just one last thing. I would legitimately like to see Salem, the cat, try and rig up that net to have it fall. I want to see the uncut video of that cat rigging that net.
What bothered me was that when... Rex went down to dinner, the net was empty. It was on the back of the door, mm-hmm. but it was empty. And then later, it had toys in it, and yet somehow Salem got the toys out, moved them aside so that they weren't obviously in the middle of the doorway, and then somehow got up high enough where it was a straight drop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It wasn't from the side. It was a straight drop from the ceiling. No. How the fuck is that going to happen?
You also got some generic like Mission Impossible music.
Yeah,
they were putting their generic like soundtracks to work. Yeah. Jesus. One other thing, when Sabrina's like knocking on all the doors, there's this bit where it's like Sabrina's like running down the street frantically, and there are all these doors around yeah. her. That's straight out of A Wonderful Life. It's A Wonderful Life, rather. I noticed. Yeah. I picked up on that. It was a nice touch. Editing wise, not so great a touch. Cat lifting a net and throwing it on a kid.
Would never have happened.
I would love to see it though. During this shakedown that's in progress, Rex's mom shows up and, after being told about the situation, tells Sabrina that Rex doesn't have a cat, as Rex acts like a snotty bastard, which he is. Sabs then calls him a liar right to his mom's face, like, your son's a fucking liar, okay? I know he's here. Where's my cat at? This is what Salem hears in Rex's room, and like he runs to the door. Kind of cute because it's a
Sabrina.
It's the real cat, so it's kind of adorable.
It's always cute when it's the real cat.
Upon asking to check Rex's room, Sabrina's request is quickly met with the threat of calling the father to scare Sabrina off. But it is Christmas, so she does also get a happy holidays or a merry Christmas as they slam the door in her face. Back at the house, Sabrina is blaming herself for losing Salem, stating that she could kick herself. Lulu, the contortionist, quickly interjects that she can kick herself and nobody fucking cares, as they shouldn't.
That's how I feel about all of Monty's jokes.
No, Monty's like, Lulu is meaningless.
No one laughs at his jokes. No one does anything to his jokes except to point out inaccuracies.
I love most of them. They then start brainstorming some plans to rescue Salem. Zelda shoots down Hilda's wooden horse idea for some reason, which, I mean,
which she's like, oh, because that worked so well the last time, except it did.
They
won the war.
They slaughtered a bunch of soldiers, yeah.
Good plan.
That works so well. Maybe Zelda doesn't know what sarcasm is, and she was just really...
Right, they won?
I don't know.
Am I misremembering?
I'm a poli-sci major, not a history major, Chris. If you want to know about the political implications of that war, don't ask me, because I don't know that either. Anyway.
I think they were losing until then. I don't remember anymore. I'm sorry.
My bad.
Too long ago.
Sabrina then considers just popping into Rex's house and grabbing Salem, but Zelda points out the danger of being recognized. Sabrina then suggests just knocking anyone that sees her down, which I think is a solid plan, but that gets shot down too. Eventually, Sabrina comes up with a better idea and runs off to execute it. We soon see what Sabrina's plan is.
Execute Rex.
Avada Kedavra. We soon see Sabrina's plan in motion, that being she's going to sneak into Rex's room disguised as Santa Claus. Shockingly enough,
Santa Claus,
whatever. She's immediately recognized by Rex, or rather, she's caught by Rex. He's glad to see that Santa actually exists and asks if she brought him any presents. Fucking asshole. He soon receives two fantastic gifts.
I would love them.
I would legitimately enjoy both of them, but which one more?
I might get you them for Christmas.
That box set's probably pretty expensive. He gets a non-stick spatula and a Neil Diamond box set for some reason.
Yeah, now listen, Rex. We need to talk.
Did you bring me presents?
Yeah, I did. Ho, ho, ho. I brought you a spatula. And this Neil Diamond box set.
Neil Diamond? Did you get my fat?
She then explains that she needs to talk to Stinky, as he's called, because he belongs to a little blonde girl who misses him very much. Rex then gives Santa a long, tough luck. Did you like his delivery of tough luck? It was so dragged out. Yeah. It's like, tough luck.
Tough luck.
But that he didn't wisp on at all. He's getting better. Good for you, Rex. As she's turned down, Santa then says that, listen, I should at least give Stinky his gifts, but it's in the bag, as she points to the bag, saying hint, hint, encouraging Salem to hop in the bag. He soon does, and Santa then gives Rex the old gotta go treatment, as he starts yelling about
Santa's got my cat!
Starts doing that.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
It's not bad, honestly.
Santa's stealing my cat!
Rex, what's going on?
Santa stole my cat.
I should always be an annoying little boy.
Sabrina goes back into the closet she came out of as Rex continually yells, which brings his mom in to remind him that you never had a cat. She is somewhat amazed to see, but he does have a spatula and a Neil Diamond box set.
Yes.
Okay, Chris. Everything from the shakedown. But I mean, what we're really going to focus on here is the plan in motion here. This genius bit of magic.
I mean, it's not an awful plan.
It's really not.
What confused me was that she appeared through his closet.
Yes.
And then went back through the linen closet, Which, in my experience, the linen closet is not a portal to other people's closets.
In my experience as a teenage witch.
From what I've seen of the show.
I like to think when she just, like, zapped into the closet.
I like to think things that would make this make sense.
Yes. Because, see, that's not what bothers me. What bothers me about this scene is why.
That beard. Totally fake.
Honestly. God, the fucking snake hanging in Rex's room. Why does Sabrina have a spatula and a Neil Diamond box set in her bag?
See, my thought was she just grabbed random things. But where the fuck did she grab them from?
Exactly. My thought...
It was Salem's gift.
Man, Salem's in for one hell of a Christmas. Sweet Caroline and pancakes or, you know, hammed burgers.
I would love that.
Beefed burgers. Those both sound pretty good. Hamburger pancakes.
No.
Not as good.
No. Chicken and pancakes.
I think it's a fun little scene, you know, Rex playing with Snotty Kid. I said it before, but I'll say it again. I don't really like the character of Rex's delivery. I think he rushes through lines a lot. Sometimes he's better than others, and the actor Seth Adkins, I believe. Sometimes he's good, but usually he's just running, flying through his lines. This scene is actually better for him, though. So I did like the tough luck. I also like when he asks Santa if he got his fax.
Yeah.
Because that's how kids sent their letters to Santa in the 1990s, through fax. Anything else to add here, Chris?
Besides the improbability of going through the linen closet.
Mm-hmm. One other thing I want to touch on. You really overlook it, but Sabrina has scarred this kid for life.
Yeah.
In his mind, Santa came into his room, gave him cookware and a CD box set, took his new pet, and made him seem like a crazy person.
But he loves him.
He's going
through all of it. He's like, he loved it.
He loved getting the spatula.
Yeah.
But he's definitely going to have to go to therapy later on.
No.
His parents think he's insane.
He's already insane. He's obviously an evil genius.
He rides his fucking...
He needed that therapy anyway.
Probably. Okay, Chris. Sabrina and Salem then quickly return home to an overjoyed group. Salem gives us the important moral lesson of this episode, that being that there are worse places to be during the holidays and with your family, as everyone starts caroling. Salem eventually tells Sabrina that he has a gift for her, but he has to give it to her upstairs. Sounds dirty, it's really not.
It does.
In her room, he tells her that his gift is that he promises to appreciate her and to respect her privacy. You know, for like 10 days. I mean,
a week.
But you have to think about it. He's a cat, so it's really like 70 human days.
Except he is going to live for 100 years
at
as
least.
A cat, so
yeah.
No.
Sabrina takes what she can get, and she's happy to get it. In the living room, Monty decides to pop the question to Lulu with what? A toe ring, because contortionists don't have hands. That's the real lesson of this episode. She happily accepts, of course, and in turn gives him his Christmas gift. He's surprised to see that it's a solid gold cigarette case, and is even more surprised to hear that Lulu's family is loaded. He spins her around, and it's a Merry Christmas for them, too. Zelda then pops in with a toast to family and friends, which everyone then wishes themselves a Merry Christmas. And Newt, who is really a pointless character in all of this, gives us the closing line of, to all a good Newt.
Merry Christmas! And to all a good Newt.
That one's not one of mine, that's his.
No, he was literally only in that episode to say that.
Yes.
And because...
He's a friend of Salem's. We didn't touch on it because it's really pointless. It goes nowhere. But apparently during Salem's like trying to take over the world, he promised Newt Denmark.
Yeah. Well, but also there's a long-held tradition of witches and their familiars.
Yes.
So. Which is weird if you think about it because he is not a familiar.
Mm-hmm.
He's a witch.
Newt is. Yeah, who is punished and turned
but
into...
I thought familiars were animals.
I don't know.
But are they magical animals?
Listen.
Like, Hedwig isn't a magical animal.
He was here for a joke, Chris. He was here for a quick joke. I mean, to all good Newt. That's it. Anyway, Let's close up the episode here, however, because as the episode closes, Sabrina and the aunties are discussing how happy Salem is to be home as he plays with piles of wrapping paper. That's actually something cats do. Our cat does it every year.
Yep.
Sabrina thinks that he likes her wrapping paper the best because she's a bit of a snotty bitch herself.
We already knew this.
That is true. Elsewhere.
Remember last episode? I remember last episode.
I do too.
Selfish Sabrina.
That is not going to be this episode's title.
Feel everything.
Please stop. You're offending people with lisps.
Okay, sorry.
Elsewhere in the world, in Rex's room, his parents ask if he wants to play with all of his new toys, but he doesn't want none of that shit, as he's hilariously playing with the spatula Santa Claus gave him.
It is a spaceship.
No, it's like a biplane or something. He's like, meow.
No,
he yes. Brrr. Yeah, but no, it's more like a.
You gotta rewatch it. You know
what?
It.
We'll put it in.
Okay.
What form of transportation do you think this is, listeners?
Honey, don't you want to ride your new motocross bike?
No.
It's a point. They wonder where that spatula came from, and they assume it's probably came from the same place where he got that Neil Diamond CD. Rex then asks if his dad can play Sweet Caroline again, as both his parents scream no, because obviously he's been cranking that shit a little too often.
Because it's awesome.
It's a pretty good song. All right, Chris, that's where the episode ends. So in these last couple of scenes, is there anything that stuck out? For some reason, Lulu getting a toe ring as a engagement ring. Did that bother
no.
you? More stupid from Lulu?
Just underlined why I don't like, what's his face?
Mm-hmm.
Monty.
Monty.
I was about to say Morty.
Morty, Rick and Morty.
Morty.
There is one like weird inconsistency that I noticed, that when Sabrina goes down the stairs, she seems to go down the back stairs.
I told you this.
Okay, you know what? I wrote it down. I brought it up. So you sit there and listen to me and make me seem clever. Chris, there's this thing I came up with. So she goes down the back steps, but she comes down the front steps when we see her. So a bit weird there. I do love the way Rex plays with the spatula, though. It's hilarious because, like, how is this kid going to play with the spatula? Just make it into a plane or a ship or whatever.
But that's what kids do.
That's true.
Kids who don't have every fucking toy in the world do.
Every toy is pretty great.
I use the plastic banana as a phone, okay?
I don't know if I mentioned this on the show, but when grandma used to watch me when I was like before I was in kindergarten, we used to play that shell game where you hide like a nut under three cups. Like, that's how I was entertained as a kid.
Yeah. I mean, we had TV and all, but you know, the nut.
Yeah. Nut under cup. That was my game. There's your show title. All right, that's really where the show ends, Chris. As an episode, what did you think about it? Did you like it as a first Christmas episode?
I thought it was a good Christmas episode. I mean, it hit all the notes that a Christmas episode needs to hit. It had, you know, ridiculous family members who are better forgotten, which lots of people have in real life.
I agree. I thought that, you know, it's not like the most unique use of magic or anything, but it does, like, watching the episode as a whole, it is a really just fun, like, experience. Like, the story flows well. It's not really shocking or anything, but it's a nice story in the end. It fills you with some happiness, and I thought it is the perfect note to hit on a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
If you had to rank this on my super duper fantastic scale, my rating scale, my TGIF scale, what would it be, Chris? Would it be a 1 out of 5?
Family Matters is 4.
Family Matters is 4.
It's a Family Matters.
I agree. I think it's a low Family Matters.
Yeah, I think so too.
But
I was going to say, God, I can't remember what 3 is.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper?
Hanging with Mr. Cooper, but I feel like it's just above that.
Yeah, I agree. It's not. There's nothing offensive about it, but it's, you know, it's a solid episode.
It's memorable, but it's not, you know, something that just amazes you.
Exactly. Now, for the real main event here, Chris.
Yeah.
Headed to the back of the linen closet, because we're going into Rex's closet, because that's how closets work.
Yep. They're all linked.
Back of the linen closet award, our every episode award for that episode's biggest fashion flop. Chris, what's your, who's getting your award this week?
I mean, I know who's getting yours.
You goddamn know
it. But I disagree, personally. I don't think it was that bad. I mean, I know it's not good, but I feel like it's more respectable for the time.
What gets your award?
Rex's sweater.
Ah, his like Aztec print.
Yeah, it was like an
Native American print.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called. It's like not iCat. I guess it's kind of like iCat.
You know what? I not only noticed it, I liked it, and I kind of wanted it.
I don't like it. I think it's ugly, and I feel bad for him, and mm-hmm. I hope his grandma didn't give it to him.
By the way, I was reading my notes, and one of the stupid Christmas song jokes I came up with was Wispy Dumber Boy instead of Widow Drummer
Fucked
Boy.
Fucked up your own joke.
Hey, Chris, I was reading my notes. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, Rex's sweater.
Fair enough. Mine is, of course, Christina's.
Wow.
Mine is
bitch.
Your sweater. No. Mine is Sabrina's putrid pink, like puffy.
It's not putrid.
It's pretty
putrid.
It's
very pink.
I'm going for alliteration.
Okay, then do it better.
Putrid, puffy, pink, sweater. That gets my Back of the One in Closet award this week. Chris, thank you for being here. Fun time as always.
Sure.
Fun, irritating. No, it's always fun to talk Sabrina Teenage Witch with one of the most knowledgeable Sabrina viewers.
Sabrina Files.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Attend Chris's class at Stanford.
The theory of Sabrina.
The theory of the linen closet. Where does it go?
I mean, obviously, they're borrowing. They're not borrowing, but Monsters, Inc. is borrowing from Sabrina because... The theory of monsters traveling from one closet to another or through doorways.
Very true.
I feel like Stolen. Leonard Nimoy needs to come and, you know.
He died, Chris.
I know, but like, as a Simpsons character, like.
He's dead. All right, but thank you for being here, Chris. And folks, make sure you follow Chris on Twitter at Chris Conkers, on Instagram at Chris Conkers, and go to chrisconkers.com because she's not only
eventually posting
she posts things over there every once in a while, not only reviews of romance novels that she's read and very well written in-depth reviews of those things, but also about beauty makeup, brushes, eye things, lip things, nose things,
hair things,
butt things. This heating pad is great.
I think there are butt things.
Yet. You have to review that heating pad that's on your butt because you fell down.
Moisturizer.
Did we talk about
it's
you falling on
heating.
Your butt?
Yeah, we talked about
okay,
it.
Okay, good.
I have a huge bruise, guys.
But thank you for being here, Chris.
You're welcome.
You can follow this show on Twitter at Sabrina Podcast, on Facebook, facebook.com/Sabrina's Witch Trials, on Instagram at Sabrina's Witch Trials.
Ah.
Follow that. A lot of GIFs, a lot of vids, a lot of photos, a lot of memes. Memes be happening all over there, so check those out. And you can listen to, subscribe, comment on these episodes on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/Sabrina's Witch Trials, on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, SoundCloud, as I said, the Google Play podcast section. You can do it there. And, of course, wherever you listen to and aggregate your podcasts. The next episode, episode 12, will be... one that I really don't like at all, Trial by Fury. Good pun in the title, but I don't like the episode very much. But we'll talk about it when we get to it. I think the next episode will be out 3 weeks after this one instead of two, just because I really need a break, because this last week was a little hectic. And, man, with the presidential election and everything, like my stress level is like 9,000. So we'll be back in early December. Hopefully with a new guest. No offense, Chris, because I don't think Chris wants to do three straight ones.
I'm good.
We'll see who we get for episode 12. But until then, I want to thank you for listening, and we will see you in the other realm.
He loves it so much. Where'd he get it?
I guess the same place he got that Neil Diamond CD.
Is that where he put on Sweet Caroline again?
No!